give a quick introduction. You know, we don't have that much time. So the I do want to say a quick little, not a schmooze, but there's a Gemara in Brachas that says that it praises Leah that she called her son Yehuda. So there's no one that called, that was Mishabeach Hashem, said, hold it Hashem to her. It says, it's a very strange Gemara because it doesn't sound like she did anything so special to say Hodah to Hashem. You know, it's a very simple thing. People say Hodah, you say thank you to Hashem. Okay, for whatever reason, no one, the Rishonim all asked that other people did do it, so she did slightly different, but it doesn't seem that she did anything so amazing. So I think Pshat, you know, is that we have a halacha that if you're among the first 10 people of a minyan, you get schar keneged kulam, which is an amazing thing. If you're davening with a minyan with 100 people, and you're the first 10, you get schar for all 100. If you have 1,000 people, you get schar for all 1,000. Now, what if without you, there would have been a minyan anyway? In other words, you walked in, and a minute after you, another guy walked in. It doesn't make a difference because you made the minyan. We don't care that, well, you didn't really, it would have happened without me. You were the one that did it. You get the credit and you get schar keneged kulam. So I think that's shot here by Leah. Leah is the one that did brought Hodah to the world. It would have happened anyway. If she wouldn't have done it, someone else would have done it. But she was the first one. The first one, that means that she brought it. Everybody else now is copying her. If you're based on the first person, then the first person gets schar for everyone that comes afterwards. And I think it's a nice insight. So what does it have to do with anything? I think, as far as I know, this is the first Chafetz Chaim Zoom share. I think so. Anyone knows otherwise? The first Chafetz Chaim Zoom share for outside of the actual guys in the yeshiva. You know, during the pandemic, we had actual for the guys in the share. But this is a, you know, we have Arba Kamba Soaretz here. This is a brand new thing. Now, if it succeeds, I assume that other people are going to do it too. That's the way in life. Is anytime you have a good idea, someone else steals it, right? You can't patent good ideas. And we don't even want to patent good ideas.
So it doesn't do Zoom.
Yeah, okay. But I'm sure St. Louis will do Zoom, and Los Angeles will do Zoom, and Dallas will do Zoom, and there'll be plenty of other places to say we'll do Zoom soon. If they hear the good idea, and especially if they hear what Rabbi Hammer says, you can make some money on it, okay. But we're not doing this for money, no money. Okay, but Amaisa, this is a shame Shemayim thing. But Amaisa, the concept is that Amaisa, once you're the first one, even if other people do it later, you get schar keneged kulam. So Be'ezras Hashem, I think that everybody here should feel a certain, I don't know whether the word is pride or good. You know, it's like a form of Harbatzos Torah. It's almost like you're starting a new branch. Sure. This is a new Chafetz Chaim branch, sure. The Zoom branch. What?
Yeah, of course.
And so we're starting a new form of branch, a new branch, and Be'ezras Hashem is going to be duplicated, and that gets keneged kulam. So any future duplication is all in the merit of the people that stick it through. So, you know, even if there'll be a little hardships and difficulties, I'm not sure, you know, till we get all the kinks out and things start working, it's something to feel that, you know, you're accomplishing. And I really think this is true, that it's a real hashkafa, that the people who do the pioneers of anything get always the extra schar. You know, it's the first person who does something, you know, they get, you know, the first person who opened up the first Baal Tshuva yeshiva. I don't know who that was. Anyone know who the first Baal Tshuva yeshiva was? That was the London brothers. Anyone know? Anyone know their world Jewish history?
Rabbi Goldstein?
Hayden? Rabbi Goldstein was probably the first one in Israel. I do think he was maybe the first one in Israel, which is also tremendous credit. I think the first one in the it was the London brothers, I think, opened earlier in America. also Chafetz Chaim. But either way, Rabbi Goldstein. And so, you know, even though, you know, Or Sameach or Eishet Torah might be a bigger operation, but he gets a schar for a Keneged Kulam because he started it. You know, they just followed his lead. I think that's the way. The first person who opened the first from camp, first person who made the first from Jewish music. You know, everyone else copied it. The first person who made the first, Avigdor Miller, he was one of the first people of Jewish books in English. You know, he was, when I grew up on Avigdor Miller, that's what it was, basically the only books that you could get. You know, so when you, that was before Arts Grow. So you know, when a person is a starts something, so he gets credit. All right, anyway, I think that's a hashkafa. Okay, we're gonna try and do this as a Chafetz Chaim type shir. So what does a Chafetz Chaim type shir mean? Would someone say something? No. So there's, I was thinking, just to, there are four, I think, unique things about a Chafetz Chaim shir. The first one, which I like the best, is that the Rebbe doesn't prepare. Right, that's the best one. The best one, because I don't have to prepare. But the reason why we don't prepare, because we're supposed to try and be working out the sugya with the fellows. Right, we don't want to present a finished product. We want to be able to work it out in the shir together with, you know, the guys see how it's met, how, you know, that's the, there's a famous mashal. I heard this mashal in Eretz Yisrael, that someone came to Rabbi Baruch Ber, and he asked Rabbi Baruch Ber, what do I need, who is greater, you or your Rebbe? And Rabbi Baruch Ber said, Rav Chaim. He said, so what do I need to go to your shir for? I can go read Rav Chaim. So Rabbi Baruch Ber, supposedly, this is the way the story goes, Rabbi Baruch Ber called in his little daughter, he asked the guy, do you eat kugel? Do you like kugel? He says, yes. He says, you eat it? Yes, every Shabbos. He says, okay, how do you make it? I don't know exactly. You take some potatoes, onions. He says, how many potatoes? How many onions? How many eggs? How much pepper? I don't know. He calls in his little daughter, and he asks him, how do you make kugel? And she tells the exact recipe. He says, you see, you can eat kugel every Shabbos, and you can love it. But if you're not in the kitchen when they make it, you'll never be able to make it yourself. Right? So that's a basic hashkafa of the yeshiva, that it's much healthier if the guys observe to get how we make the shir. So it's, the Rebbe should not come in with a preconceived shir. So it becomes a little awkward because sometimes I look stupid, like I won't even know Tosis. Go ask a question and say, hey, but David's asked that question. Oh, you know, or I won't know a Marsha. And, you know, there are different reasons, but the system works very nicely. It works very nicely. You just have to have a little patience that we work together, we work out the sugya. It takes a little longer. And, you know, instead of being a one day, it can take a week, 2 weeks on a sugya, usually on 2 weeks. But together, we work out the sugya. Anyway, that's the first thing that makes the yeshiva, you know, the yeshiva system unique, is that we work out the sugya, that it's not a lecture, we're working out together. The second thing is two people are too quiet, so that's why I get to the second thing. The second thing is we want participation. Anyone want to participate? No. We want participation. First of all, because we don't have participation, then the share goes too fast. And then we can't work it out together. But in all seriousness, we want participation because that's the, you know, that's how also certain guys grow more when they participate. So if anyone has anything to say, we want to hear it. We want the guys to talk. No one should be bashful. Anyone have anything to say? No. Okay. That's the second thing. We want participation.
Rebbe, I thought that was more like because Chofetz Chaim and yeshiva, you're trying to train the guys, but is alumni the same thing?
Yeah.
Guys who are out of yeshiva, it's still a training process? It's not more of a...
No. Listen, I don't know. Who's talking?
Yaakov.
Yaakov who?
Meltzer.
I don't see you. Well, how come you're not on the screen?
I'm trying.
No, because it's usually the speaker comes up. The speaker's supposed to come up. I don't know. I don't see you. Okay, I don't know why the computer is not sending you up.
No, I was surprised to hear Rebbe is planning on doing that kind of a style in alumni share.
Okay, I don't. If you don't like it, don't come. No, I think that's what I.
Oh, you said you want to be hocked up, Rebbe.
Guys want no. I'll tell you the answer, because this is what guys are used to, and I think this is what guys enjoy. And some people want it. I don't know. And I think we hold of it, even if it's not just for training. It's not like you're already fully trained. I don't want to shock you, but I doubt if anyone here is really, including myself, you know, we already made it, that we can't get a little more training. Doesn't hurt. And it's much more, it's not just only for training. It's also, the Rashiva's Hashkafa was that there's much more Yigia. I actually saw it in the Siddur Agra, and the Tzidkas Yitzchak. There's a Siddur Agra on the parish of Shlosh Rigodim. Hashem Svasai Tiftach. Gra says if you have a Siddur, look that it's if you say something, and you say it unclear, it's better than if you say it clear, because if you say it clear, if you say it unclear, then the listener has to work to understand it. If you say it clear, then the only thing you're leaving the listener to do is to work to argue. Because the listener wants to do something. So either he'll work to argue or work to understand. That's what the Gross says. Very fascinating. So when you say things clear, you're not leaving him any room except to argue. You say it unclear, then he can figure it out himself. He feels part of it. So I think that was part of the Yeshiva's Hashkafa, that the guy, you gain more in learning. When you just hear a lecture, it's like in one ear and out the other. You don't really gain. You're not really into it. There's less iyun. There's no amelis. You know, you want to hear a lecture. So go on Yeshiva World, what's it called? Torah Anytime. You sit, you're going to get a lecture, and you can sit back. But we don't want a lecture. We want a little bit of amelis. Guys to prepare Maram Mikaimis. It's, you know, like a... That's what I think that's the idea of this year, that we want to back in yeshiva days, where we want to work in a little bit. You know, I don't know if it's we can do it fully, but the truth is I have plenty of guys in my shir that don't work either. But we try to have a certain amount. So the system that the shir is not worked out, and the guys are supposed to participate and say their svaras and say their pshatim, that encourages guys to work more and to be part of it. And then they gain more and they understand it better. And the Iker Schar and Talmud Torah is your Amelis. So that is what we do hold. Obviously other people will say we're crazy. I saw Rav Chasko Bramsky said, never say a shir unless you prepared the Maram Mikaimis like 20 times. But that was Rashiva Shita, was a little unusual. Okay, anyway, so that's the second difference. The third thing which I'm trying to convey too is that those who are in any Chavetz Chaim shir know that the shir is not just only about learning. You know, we try and have a kesher with the guys. Now, so I don't know, it's a little difficult, but I do want that there should be, that's why if the guys speak, and I Yaakov, you don't mind, I made a joke about you. Do you mind, are you back there again?
I'm here.
Yeah, see, I made a joke about you. I don't know if you knew, but I said you can go somewhere else. That was a joke.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, okay, so that part of it.
If you didn't throw me out of the yeshiva back in the day, why would you throw me out of the Zoom meeting now?
That's right. Because part of it is on purpose. We don't want to put on fake ears, and we want to have a connection. We think it's very, the Hashkafa of the yeshiva is that you gain much more when you have a connection, when there's the yeshiva's connection to Rav David was legendary, and that's part of why he was so committed to the Messiah. Rabbi Chait in Eretz Yisrael used to say, I remember I was shocked, he used to say that not a day goes by that he doesn't think about Rav David. You know, it was like the a person, the more you're connected to the person that you're learning, it becomes, it's not just a share, it's your share. Makes a very, very big difference. So we like to make some kind of connection. We like to have a personal touch. We don't want just people coming in on Zoom and not speaking and not showing their faces and putting themselves on, there's a way of, you don't have to see who you are. And we're even ready sometimes, I don't know when exactly, but part of the Chafetz Chaim Messiah is that we even do things outside of learning, right? You know, we do that usually when I don't know the answer to a question. Usually that's when we do that. You know, that there's a question, or, you know, there is sometimes we don't want the share to go weiter. We want the people to think about it. We have a question and we're stuck, and we want the people to think about it. So we can't go weiter. And so then we have to sometimes talk about outside things. I want to do that. I want to run this like a regular shir, a regular Chafetz Chaim shir. You just got beheaded. Your head disappeared. Okay.
That's the problem with the fake background.
Yeah. All right. You're disappearing. But okay. All right. Anyway, anyone have anything to say that's what they would like to say something? Did anyone have any suggestions that would be good, what we should do?
We not talk politics till after the election.
Oh, come on. Yes, okay, that's fine. There's nothing to talk about in politics. But it doesn't have to be politics.
Did we get all four, or was that three?
I have a question about this year.
Yes.
How much Hachana is recommended to fully...
The answer is it's a lot of things, especially at this age, is left open to you. My assumption is that there'll be people that will be coming that will be doing zero Hachana. There are people that are busy working, and they have no time for Hachana. And I'm going to be assuming that there are some people that won't do Hachana, and I'll be able, and they'll have to be able to give shir and explaining the Maariv Mikaymis to people who didn't have Hachana. And, we'll have to accept that. So it's not a ma'akev to have to do Hachana. But I think whatever amount of Hachana the person does, he will hopefully gain more from the shir. So it's more up to a freedom of the person. It's up to yourself. If you do more Hachana, you'll probably be more into it. And you'll gain more. Also, part of the gaining of the shir is when a person sees, and I would have said something differently, that's a large part of the gaining of the shir, when you're into it and you see what is the chiddush of the shir, what was the pashtus. If you don't do achana very often, you don't appreciate what was the pashtus before, what was changed. So Hachana is very good, but I don't want to make people think that if they don't do Hachana, they can't come, they won't be able to follow. This is going to be a really difficult shir. If you don't do Hachana, you won't follow. I don't think that's going to be realistic. I think there'll be some people that will not, I have to be honest with that people are busy. The people are tzaddikim, even for taking off this hour a night. And I think most people have their own lives, and they have jobs and families. And to assume that they're going to be spending a long time at Hachana, I don't think is realistic. So whatever Hachana you can do is good. But it's not, I don't think you should feel that you can't be in the part of the shir if you don't have time for Hachana. Then I don't think so. But we will try and send out Maariv Mikaymis in the morning. I'll try and send out. If you have a chance to see the Maariv Mikaymis, it's good. If not, then we'll have to go over it in the share. I think, is that okay with everyone, or someone thinks it should be done differently?
Well, that makes sense.
Yeah, because I think people are, like, as it is, you're carving out an hour that was not carved out before. Everyone, how did you even find this at this hour? It's already a chiddush. No, I mean, it's a chiddush. So to expect people to be doing Hachana is, but if those people that have time for Hachana, is definitely better. So we'll give the option. The Bar Mikaymis will be out there and you guys will have the option. But it's not a ma'akev.
There's a Rabbi Lubin.
Yes.
You're saying you're only sending out the Mar Mikaymis in the morning. If the shiur is at night and people are busy, you're not going to even get to see the Mar Mikaymis till you come home.
Right.
So you should send them out when? The day before?
Okay, but the problem is like this. The problem is that since as I said, I don't even prepare. So how we don't have the Marikai the day before. If we have the Marikai the day before, that would be good. But we're lucky if we have Marikai miss in the morning. You know.
Okay.
You know how can I do it the day before? We're having Klashir at 8 to 9. I don't know. To expect to have the Mar Mikaymis the day before is a little unusual. I think we'll be lucky if we get the Mar Mikaymis. I mean, I'll try, but he knows there. I'm going to try and make them do it during, you know, the next morning, breakfast time, you know, have a little break in yeshiva. But I don't think it'll be realistic to do sooner than that. It's not so realistic. But, okay.
Well, also, the Mar Mikaymis might be more than just one day. It might be some Mar
Mikaymis. Yeah, right. That's right. Usually that is what happens. If you send out a Mar Mikaymis, we'll probably sit a few days on it. So even if the preparation is like working on it and share it together. Let's say we're doing Shita Mikubetza, so we'll spend a few days on the Shita. So, you know, you're right. You don't, not necessarily, you know, you didn't. So you saw it the first day in Shir, and then the second day, you already saw it the day before. That is correct. Okay, any other points anybody has to say? No? No one has anything to say. Okay, so let's try learning a little bit. Let's try learning. Okay. I'm not sure. Where did we say we're going to start from? Anyone remember?
I think the official thing was we're doing the sugya of Mordo Ad Mordo Behema.
Yeah. So where were we supposed to start? Umayishno Gabi Behema. I think that's where we're supposed to start. Okay. Umayishno Gabi Behema Diksiv Ki Yidov. No, I skipped the line.
What daf is Rabbi on right now?
Okay. Beis Amid Beis. Beis Amid Beis. It says it's around in the middle of the page. Start the last two words on the line is Mishna. It's in the side it's Shmos Kaf Aleph. So it's like two lines above Shmos Kaf Aleph. Is that right? I think no. No, I'm sorry. Two lines below Shmos Kaf Aleph. You see in the middle Shmos Kaf Aleph? So two lines below that. Ma'ishna gabi adam diksiv ki yigach. U'ma'ishna gabi be'ema diksiv ki yigach. Yigov. In other words, there is two psukim in the Torah. One when a shor gores a person, and one when a shor gores another animal. And the Torah uses a different language. By an Adam, it says ki yigach, and by a behemah, it says ki yigov. So Adam de islay mazal ksiv ki yigach, behemah de islay mazal ksiv ki yigov. Milsa agavurche kamash on the mood Adam, avi mood a behemah, mood a behemah, avi mood a Adam. Okay. So basically, there's something called mazal, which we'll have to see in Rashi what that means. Apparently, it's harder to do negicha to an Adam than to a behema because of this mazel. And that's why mu'ad Adam is mu'ad behema, but mu'ad behema is not mu'ad Adam. So let's see Rashi. Gabi Adam, sure that the first largest line. Kishashor nogeach Adam ksiv ki yigach shor is ish. V'gabi nigich ashor b'shor ksiv ki yigach shor ish ashor reheyo. Adam d'islei mazla. Sheyesh lo das lishmer es gufo. In other words, the Adam he has the seichel to watch himself. So it's harder to hit him. Fifki yiga. The vadai mizkavin ashur nahara. Ubo alav bikayach. Avo the gifa have a mashma shemotzlo oime bidokso bikarno. This I don't know what Rashi means. What does it mean? The vadai. What does vadai mean? Vadai is kavin ashur nahara. I mean, all karen is always kavanas al ahazik. The vadai by an adam, he's vadai.
It means like premeditated. One's premeditated, one's not premeditated.
It's vadai nischavin. Nischavin, you're saying, means premeditated, even though usually, it's kavanas, even by a behemoth, kavanas al ahazik, but it's not premeditated.
But right, that would be the
saying. The vadai nischavin hashor lehara. Where does Rashi say in those words premeditated?
I thought nischavin lehara means intent to harm.
But if karen is always kavanasa lahazik, so he always intends to harm. It just said he wasn't intending an hour before, it was only the last 5 minutes. In other words, karen, even karen behema is called kavanasa lahazik. That is how we define karen. Karen is, right, that's the next line of the Gemara. Karen is kavanas talahazik. That's the main characteristic of karen. The next line, mashna karen the kavanas talahazik. So every karen is kavanas talahazik because the animal's not getting any pleasure. What? I'm sorry?
Could it mean that he divide, that the kavanas has das to kill?
The hara means to kill?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't know. Is that what you think? But the vada is having a shor a hara ubo alav bikayach.
Go says that it puts in the, so it changes the gears to lahargo.
The who says who what?
In the hagos v'tzionim says they have.
Oh, I don't have that. Yeah, what does he say?
It says yeah, he quotes a ksav yad that instead of lahara says lahargo.
Lahargo. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see Rafi Friedman. Hello there. I don't know. Oh, well, anyway,
doesn't Badai imply that it's like a you're it's more certain what that?
Yeah, one. I think so. Badai doesn't seem to help for that. Yes, I also don't like that shot. Like, why does it mean that he's out to kill? I mean, the case is that the person only got damaged. I mean, the case could be any case, but it could also cases where he damages a person. So why should we assume because he succeeded in damaging him that he was out to kill him? And I don't like that gerusa at all. Like that the animal was out to kill, but you're saying that the animal damaged a person. You say he vadai was out to kill him. Why would you assume that? He succeeded in doing what he was meant to do. He meant to hurt him. He succeeded. Not that he meant to kill him and he missed, but he got it. Why would we assume that? I don't get that gerusim. I don't really get it. I don't see it.
There are different.
What?
Is there a difference if the shore is once. If the shore wants to damage as a like maliciously versus it just wants to have fun,
yes. I don't know what having fun means. What does having fun mean? Are they having fun from being mazik?
Like maybe it enjoys knocking the wall down. Yeah, maybe it wants to knock down a wall. It's fun for the animal. Just like
that might be called kavanas lahazik. Kavanas lahazik means it gets pleasure from doing hazik. That's called kavanas lahazik.
So by a person, it's not just enjoys it. See, by a person, it's not just trying to enjoy it. It has to really want to kill the person or really or the shore wants to hurt the person.
How do you know? He only went ahead and was mazik the person. See, I don't know. I'm just not such a big fan of this. What is the name of the, what's it on the side of your Gemara? It changes the gears. What's it called? They don't, are they quoting it from anyone, or they're just saying that
Ksav Yad.
So, you know, like so, but obviously there's another Ksav Yad that had it our way, right? And it's not like that Ksav Yad that they're quoting is necessarily more reliable. And as in Gemara was printed from also from Ksav Yad. And this Ksav Yad that our Gemara was printed from was going over for about a few hundred years, probably 500-600 years. And everybody for the last 600 years since Gemara was printed was quite happy with the Gersa that we have. So now comes along somebody and he dug up a different Ksav Yad, and he said, well, there's a different Ksav Yad, a different Gersa. So one of the, why should we assume that our Ksav Yad is wrong and that everyone in the last 600 years had read it and was quite happy and thought that it made perfect sense? They all had wrong shot. It's more likely that this new Ksav Yad that they found is wrong, especially because the our Ksav Yad makes more sense. I don't understand how they can say they should kill.
Yeah, the second half of your...
I'm sorry, what?
I was going on back onto the gears that we have.
Yeah, good.
Right. So the next part of the Rashi is right is opposed to Nagifa is Matzo Omed. Right. It's
right.
The way I read this is like a karma opportunity. It wasn't something that was there wasn't like the animal had a plan to damage. It just found itself in a place where it was easy to do damage.
So that you're saying that the difference is, well, that's what you were saying before, that it doesn't mean that it's more premeditated. In both cases, he did the damage, but in one case, he planned it in advance. And the second case, he was just on the spur of the moment, he decided to do damage.
Like a crime of opportunity, yeah.
But it's a little funny in the Lashon. Why Rod is having a short ahara doesn't really hit the nail on the head. It's like Rashi's speaking is poor. In other words, the second half, Rashi speaks it outright. And there he just on this, you're saying it's like sort of in this further moment, he was tempted. Ooh, you walk down the subway and you see a guy standing over the ledge and he's looking, and you get all of that urge, oh, I'm gonna give him a push. But it was just on the spur of the moment. And the other case is you were following him for the last half hour, waiting for your opportunity, then you can kill the guy. So, but I just, Rashi did a poor job at that shot in the writing it, because the first half is having a short ahara doesn't really mean that it was premeditated in hours in advance, because this having could just mean, right before also. So it's not.
So according to Rebbe, then why say devadai? The word devadai is also hinting that there was something else. And I don't know the right word is premeditated, but it seems certainly. According to Rebbe, you don't need that word.
I don't understand the word devadai. I agree with you, but I think you're making a problem, not answering it. So what does Vada mean? I mean, we're not denying that Karen is Vada. Even Karen of Behemoth is also Vada Kavanos and Isaac. It's just a different Kavanos and Isaac. One's a Kavanos and Isaac on the spur of the moment, and one is a Kavanos and Isaac that was premeditated an hour earlier. But why does the word Vada come in? Yeah, I agree. I don't know. It's a strange Rashi.
Just to clarify, so the question would be that in Rashi, Rashi could have just started with Uvala Bakach, Devala Bakach, and skipped the whole Vade Nishaven Ashur, Lahara.
Yeah, we don't know what that means, Nishaven Ashur, because Lahara, yes. We don't know what that means, because when you're goring in Behema, you're also Nischavein, you're also Vadai Nischavein Lahara. So we don't know what Rashi is adding. Yes, that is correct.
But if we had, if we started from a Baba Koa, then it would make sense.
Kavana, if we could come up with another Kavana besides Lahara for Nagifa, then that would answer the question.
Lahara doesn't mean the same as Kavanah Salahazik?
Right, maybe, because I was thinking that maybe the Negifa would be, let's say, it's just the cow was in the way, and it wasn't intending to bite, it was just intending to push it out of the way.
Okay, but that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says, if you look in the Gemara says, you know, I'm saying a few lines later, it says, Karen Kavanosa Lahazik. No, so we don't assume they're just pushing him away. That's pushing it out of the way would be probably Rego or Shane. I don't know. I don't think that would be Karen. That's Karen is Kavanosa Lahazik. And that's what makes Karen Chatzinezik, because it's not normal, because most animals are domesticated, they're not vicious. They have no urge to do hezek. If you're in my way, that might not be abnormal. You know, that I want to get to something. Let's read the end of the Rashi, because it's yes, I'm listening. I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I can't hear you.
Okay. I think the Pshat's slightly different. Remember, you got to put it back in context of the Gemara. The Gemara wanted to say that Mu'adla Behema is not a Mu'adla Adam, but Mu'adla Adam is a Mu'adla Behema. So goring an animal and goring a man are both Kavanoso Lahazik, but it's not the same level.
Right, but where does Rashi say it's a higher level? Rashi, so what, the Vaday means a higher level? The word Vaday means there's more? That's what you want to say. Vaday means not more sure, but Vaday means a stronger amount?
This Kavan Lahora, he was really adamant to get him. In other words, Kavanoso Lahazik is, even if he just pushes him with his horn, he pushes him, he can hit him a little bit, but he not say he want to give him a real zet.
All right, so you want to say Lahora, I mean, okay, I hear, but it's really not so good. Like Lahora could mean, just mean, you're saying Lahora means that I want to really hurt you, not a little hurting you. Why does a little hurting you call Lahora?
Rabbi Lubin,
making this paro so intelligent.
Well, wait till the next time, Raji. Yeah.
Isn't it, I mean, we're trying to say with the yigach and negifa, not that there's an actual difference in what happened to the animal, but that the mashmos of yigach or mashmos and negifa, so it's meaning, that's what I understood Rashi to say, that the mashmos of yigach is a more violent action. Not that the different, meaning they're both Karen, they're both kind of a kavanas al-hazik, but yigach and negifa.
Right, but I just don't see in Rashi explaining why it's more violent. The vaday, but both are vaday, Nischavein, they're both vaday. Lahara, they're both lahara. Let me go a little further.
No, but you forgot about the first Rashi before it. You're just reading this Rashi. The Rashi before it says, Sheyesho das lishma skufo. Means you can't, the Shah wants to go to man, there's no way that he's going to get next to alongside of him. Means the man is going to keep his distance.
Right.
You don't want to go him. You gotta go after him.
Yeah, but where does the word nischavein say going after him? It's just not the right word. You might be right. I'm just being, you know, the first day I'm trying to be difficult. But Rashi does not really doing justice, because this vaday is true even by an animal, and nischavein is true by an animal, and the hara, it's just saying, but it's more intensity. Rashi doesn't use the word of intense. He should have said some word that to say that there's more intensity. It's just not there.
If Rashi would have said by Negifa Suffolk, that would have been okay.
But I don't think that's true. Is Negifa Suffolk? And that would be a tremendous chiddush. Because we always say that Karen is Kavanosa Lahazik. Do we ever say that Karen is Suffolk Kavanosa Lahazik? I don't know, it's like going to change all of Baba Kaba.
How is everybody reading
the reason why Karen is Chatzin Nezek is because it's not normal for an animal to be kavanos al hazik. So that's it. And let me try and go the end of Rashi. Let me just try, because I want to, before we, Lishnachmina, Isle Mazo, the Eino Noch Lamiso Menegifa, the Heat Chibas Karamahat, and a Megifa Bekoyach Ubekavana Ubetachibas Karen Begov. What does this mean? Isle Mazo. So, what does this Mazo mean? He has Mazo. What does that mean? He has Mazo.
Anyway.
And Aina knows Lahamiso. So all of a sudden now Rashi's saying something about that he killed him. Aina knows Lahamiso. And a Benigiva Mekayach. So who said we're talking about killing? So now we're talking
the Hagos about the unit.
Switching it to what?
The Hagos was
unit.
Yeah.
The Pontus himself says the mace, no? Like he in the Egos and.
So the mazo, what does that mean? What does that mean, what Rashi is saying? What does a mazo do?
It makes it physically hard to kill a person.
So you have to hit him harder to kill him?
Well, you're not just killing, because you have to
get out of the way.
You have to stab him and he'd like a puncture wound the cock.
Ain't no, none of that. And a betachiva kayach or bekavana. Betachiva is Karen beguf. You have to give him a kayach or bekavana. Again, the kavana I don't like because that was always bekavana. Or betachiva is Karen beguf. You have to give him a harder zet. So the mazo makes that you need a, so in other words, it's not because the first chat was that the person has das, lishmer is gufo. And the second shot is that the first shot is that he has das lishmar as gufo. And the second shot is that he has mazel. So the mazel keeps him alive even though he would get hit. And therefore you need more to hit to kill him.
I think they learned this Rashi is referring to a malach that's protecting him, like a real mazel, no?
That's only
one is shot. Is that how they learn it?
It's a machlokas. I think a machlokas. Achronim. With the Rashi means like the mystical mazel or.
So what does that mean? I for sure don't understand. If you say it's a malach, I really don't understand it. So what? The animal outsmarted the malach?
No, a person has a malach protecting him, so he's harder to kill. So
and therefore what? And this animal
doesn't have a malach.
Smarter than the malach, better than the malach.
The animal doesn't have a malach, he's worse.
I know, but I'm saying, but he succeeded. The guy has a malach protecting him. And now the animal actually got him anyway. So what does that mean? That the animal beat the malach?
An indication of a greater level of violence.
So yeah. There's a greater level of violence and you can beat the malach? This is
maybe he needs more discussion.
The malach is trying to protect the person.
Maybe he's discussing.
Coming, not so violent, then the malach's able to protect the person. But if the animal's getting really charging, then the poor malach runs the other way.
I don't know about the malach.
He's asking how people could die if there's mazel.
No, I just don't see. If you bring in malach,
mazel is that he's intelligent.
I get all nervous. I don't understand why an animal. How an animal outsmarts a malach, and what? Why it would make a difference how hard the animal tries. If there's a malach protecting you, the malach should protect you whether the animal tries hard or not. The animal's only an animal. The animal's not, has no brain.
Protecting him. Where did you see the malach is protecting him?
I said, someone said, one of the fellows said, that when Rashi says, it's like mazo, he means a malach. I did not see that in Rashi.
No, there's Rashi.
That's what it means.
Yeah, but towards the end of Rashi, that it requires a greater level of violence to kill the person right. Than the level of violence.
Because since a person is intelligent, he sees it coming, he gets out of the way, he protects
himself. That's the first shot. Wait, but with this two shots in Rashi. First shot is because the person is intelligent. The second shot is because he has mazel. Nothing to do with his intelligence. Second shot has nothing to do with intelligence. Has to do with mazel. So we want to know what this mazel is.
But whatever it is, whatever it is, Rashi is saying that that, you know, requires now a greater level of violence.
Right. So I agree with you. But I'm saying I don't like to say the mazel means a malach. Sounds very strange. Because why does a greater amount of violence on the animal able to beat a malach? It just sounds strange. If mazel means luck, like mazel in the world, you know, the guy has mazel.
Right.
Then I hear that mazel, yeah, mazel protects you from a little damage, yeah. Not from a big damage.
Gilian Ashas quotes Rashi in Shabbos.
Yeah.
Shabbos and Gilead.
Yeah, and that Rashi there says malach shalom meilitzlov.
Yeah, so that doesn't that sound strange? If there's a malach that's meilitz on you, why would it make a difference what the animal's trying to do? No, I mean,
maybe you need more schlusim if it's trying harder.
I need more schlusim because with the animal's trying harder, so it's more of a makom sakana.
Yeah.
So you need more schlusim. So the malach loses, the poor malach, because since the animal's trying harder, so the malach loses.
So why
maybe meilitz means like in Shemayim, the malach is being meilitz.
Okay, so you're saying that the malach is being meilitz, and if the animal is more insistent, then we don't say, listen, malach, we're not listening to you. The animal's less insistent, then we're going to listen to you.
But maybe the malach, it has nothing to do with, you know, it's not dealing directly with the animal. Once the animal did it, and now the person is wounded, now the malach is meilitz yesher on it. So on a smaller wound, you know, he's able to protect them more. On a greater wound.
Oh, you're not talking about, maybe that's why Rashi, you're saying that's why Rashi would switch to Mamis, right? Another question to your shot. Because we have a problem on Rashi. Why is Rashi limited to dying? In other words, the Chayra, it could be even the Malach is made it's on you, or the Mazo is made it's on you, not to get even damaged.
Is there a Chalik in Tom and Moore?
Why does Rashi bring in that Lamiso? He should have said Noach Lahaziko.
Right? Maybe it's not Lahaziko.
So, what?
Maybe Lahaziko is not really true.
So, according to Sandy Goldchat, he's saying it's because the issue is not whether the animal succeeded in hitting you. In the first shot in Rashi, the issue is whether the animal succeeds in hitting you. Because the Adam Ismei Das means he keeps away. This is a nice shot. Now, there's in the first shot, Rashi, and I like the Hagos Yudim. In the first shot, Rashi doesn't mention anything about Misa. Is the point is the person, if it's Adam Ismei Das, he keeps away, so you can't even be mazik him. But in the second shot, the Malach, the animal gets you because the animal gets you. Now the question is, what happens to you? So you need the Malach is trying to keep you alive. So if you die, that means that the animal hit you a harder hit, and therefore you're a bigger Chayda Misukin. So Rashi had to pick dying because explain why the Malach. Okay, so anyway, let's just summarize. I really did not want to say any pshatim for many reasons, but also, so Rashi's funny. We'll have to go over it again tomorrow. Let's try and see if there's any Mefarshim on Rashi. I will believe that they look. If anyone finds anything, they can also email me or let me know or call me. I should give you also my phone number if anyone wants. My cell number, I don't know it by heart, I'm sorry, because I don't call myself ever.
Maybe Rabbi Schwartz can send it out.
Okay, but yeah, you can tell, but I'll tell you now.
Rabbi Levin, do you text?
594-2734. If anyone has a good Mar Mokom, that'll be good. I'd appreciate it.
So we text you?
You can text me too, yes. So it's Rabbi Schwartz can send that also out. That's bluban@ytcteam.org. Yes, that's fine. Anything is fine. I do look at my texts once in a while.
Email or texting?
Email, no, not texting. My phone doesn't, I have a dumb phone. And this phone doesn't doesn't, it's very dumb. It doesn't do texting too well, and it doesn't take messages, and it does, even if you send me a message, it doesn't tell me I got a message. So I don't see it till like a week later. So yeah, don't send to my phone anything.
Rebbe, just please, going back to the first shot in Rashi that you had a question on.
Yeah, you know, I just don't want to keep people overtime. So we'll let you go, and then I want to stop, you know.
Okay. So I'll do very quick. So assuming that, let's say, pshat in Tom and Muad, or pshat in why you have to pay Hezek is because you should have been more responsible in watching your animal. So a guy can claim that he didn't know his animal was going to damage. How should, you know, maybe that's a reason to not be chayev. So Karen is a concept of niskavin lahazik. And when it comes to goring a man, there's a much greater level of kavana, so you surely should have known that the cow was going to gore. So like that, the vadai is more that, of course he was going to gore, you should have watched him.
The vadai is going on the owner, the vadai. Okay, let me, I don't want to keep people, so let me, I'll think about it. Lean out there. But let me just, I just want to say I love, there's a few people that I didn't see before. Who are the new people that showed up? Anyone showed up new that I didn't say hello to before?
Yeah, hi, Rabbi. Rafi Friedman. Tuesday nights, I could only come at 8:30, but okay. Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
Okay, thank you. How are you? Where do you live?
I live in Queens near Chavetz Chaim, and I'm in law school now.
Okay, very good.